Punjabi Hari. Hare Radha Madhava. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So today we continuing with Canto 8, Chapter 23, Text 15, and the chapter is entitled The Demigods Regain the Heavenly Planets. So we'll be chanting Text 15 together. Shri Shuka Uvacha Kutas Tat Karma Vaishamyam Yasya karmeshvaro bhavan Yagneshu yagna purushaha Sarva bhavena pichitaha. Sri Shuka Uvacha Kutas tat karma vaishamyam Yasya karmeshvaro bhavan Yagneshu yagna purushaha Sarva bhavena pujitaha. Sri Shuka Uvacha Kutas tat karma vaishamyam Yasya karmeshvaro bhavan Yagnesho yagna purushaha Sarva bhavena pujitaha. Please chant. Shri Shuka Uvacha Kutas tat karma vaishamyam Yasya karmeshvaro bhavan Yagnesho yagya purushaha Sarva bhavena pujitaha. Shri Shuka Uvacha Tutas tat karma vaishamyam Yasya karmeshvaro bhavan Sarva bhavena pujitaha. Shri Shuka Uvacha Tutas tat karma vaishamyam Yasya karmeshvaro bhavan Yagnesho yagya purushaha Sarva bhavena pujitaha. Shri Shuka Uvacha Tutas tat karma vaishamyam Yasya karmeshvaro bhavan Yagnayashop Yagna Purushaha Sarva Bhavena Pujitaha Shishuko Vacha Gutastat Karma Vaishamyam Yasya Karmeshvaro Bhavan Yagnesho Yagna Purushaha Sarva Bhavena Pujitaha. So the word for word, Shishuko Vacha. She's Sukracharya said, Kuta, where is that? Tat, of him, Bali Maharaj. Karma Vaishamyam, discrepancy in discharging fruitive activities. Yasya, of whom, Bali Maharaj. Karma Ishvaraha, the master of all fruitive activities. Bhavan, your lordship. Yagna Isha, you are the enjoyer of all sacrifices. Yagna Purushaha, you are the person for whom for whose pleasure all sacrifices are offered. Sarva Bhavena, in all respects. Pujitaha, being worshipped. So the translation by Srila Prabhupada. Sukracharya said, my Lord, you are the enjoyer and lawgiver in all performances of sacrifice, and you are the Yagya Purusha, the person to whom all sacrifices are offered. If one has fully satisfied you, where is the chance of discrepancies or faults in his performance of sacrifice? The purport by Srila Prabhupada. In Bhagavad Gita 5:29, the Lord says, Bhoktaram yagya tapasam sarva loka maheshvaram. The Lord, the supreme proprietor, is the actual person to be satisfied by the performance of yagyas. The Vishnu Purana 3:8-9 says, and let me see if I can manage this, my eyesight's not doing so well today. Usually I need a bright light, so this is a little struggle. Vanakramradar charnata purushena para puman vishnur dradyate panta nanyatatasa karanam. All the Vedic ritualistic sacrifices are performed for the purpose of satisfying Lord Vishnu, the Yagya Purusha. The divisions of society, Brahmanas, Kshatriyas, Vaishyas, Sudra, Brahmachari, Grihastha, Vanaprastha and Sannyas, are all meant to satisfy the Supreme Lord Vishnu. To act according to this principle of the Vanashram institution is called Varna Acharana. In Srimad Bhagavatam 1.2.13, Suta Goswami says, Ata Pumbir Dvija Shrestha Varna Shrama Vibhagasaha. Svanushtitasya dharmasya samsidhir hari toshanam. O best among the twice born, it is therefore concluded that the highest perfection one can achieve by discharging his prescribed duties according to caste division and orders of life is to please the personality of Godhead. Everything is meant to satisfy the supreme personality of Godhead. Therefore, since Bali Maharaj had satisfied the Lord, he had no faults, and Sukracharya admitted that cursing him was not good. Om Agyana Timurandasya Gananjana Shlakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Namom Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Ramapadaswami Iti Namine Namom Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Iti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Sunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Vanchakalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sandubhya Hivacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnebhyo Namo Namaha. So today's verse is Sukracharya's response to the question posed by Lord Vamanadev. So that question that was posed by Lord Vamanadev, we read yesterday, and I'm going to read it. O best of the Brahmanas, Sukracharya, please describe the fault or discrepancy in your disciple Bali Maharaj, who engaged in performing sacrifices. This fault will be nullified when judged in the presence of qualified Brahmanas. So Lord Vamanadev, he's referring to Bali Maharaj as one who was engaged in performing sacrifices, and he's also referring to him as one who's a disciple of Sukracharya. Now, since the question is addressed to Sukracharya, the spiritual master, we can consider the way the spiritual master views the disciple. So if one considers Srila Prabhupada's particular view, the way he was viewing his disciples, which I thought is very interesting as a starting point, I'm going to read a quote which was from a letter written to Jadarani. So usually I don't know many of the disciples that the letters were addressed to, but in this particular case I've met this devotee in my early days in Krishna consciousness. So it was sort of interesting thinking, oh, this letter was written to her. So this is one of his statements. Although officially I am your spiritual master, I consider you all students as my spiritual masters, because your love for Krishna teaches me how to become a sincere Krishna conscious person. So this was written by Srila Prabhupada in December of 1967 to Jadarani. Now, this is a very interesting perspective. So I thought to examine it a little bit in this, in the light of this question being posed to Sukracharya, the spiritual master of Bali Maharaj, by Lord Vamanadev. You know, he's asking him about his disciple. So now, a Krishna conscious person, whether it's the spiritual master or the disciple, they obviously have to take into account Krishna's opinion, or particularly of sacrificial activity, because that's the topic that's of interest here To Lord Vamanadev and what he's trying to examine in terms of Sukracharya's view of the sacrificial activity performed by his disciple Bali Maharaj. So we can begin. What's Krishna's view of or opinion of sacrificial activity? So this is how Krishna puts it. Acts of sacrifice, charity and penance are not to be given up. They must be performed. Indeed, sacrifice, charity and penance purify even the great souls. So that's from Bhagavad Gita in the 18th chapter. The Krishna conscious person is being advised by Krishna to perform these activities for the purpose of purifying the heart. So that's the reason for performing any sacrifice, any penance, any charity. And of course, since Bali Maharaj was giving in charity, going quite a while back when we were speaking on this topic, usually charity has to be given to a suitable person, meaning somebody who's engaged in spiritual activities. That's a proper way to give charity, such as a Brahmana, a Vaishnava, or a temple. And so the giving charity in that kind of way is going to lead one to advance in spiritual understanding or in spiritual life. And also, the charity needs to be given without an expectation of return. So those were the criteria, and I know we discussed this a while back in a particular class. So I know at that time the point was made that poverty isn't the criterion to be met for giving of charity, but rather the spiritual qualification is the criterion that needs to be met for charity to be given. Now, the act of sacrifice also needs to be aimed at the Supreme Lord. So, you know, there's a particular Sanskrit, Om Tat Sat. So the aim is always at the Supreme Lord. So the Supreme Lord, who's eternal, and now the mode in which the charity is given is also discussed by Krishna in Bhagavad Gita. So the means by which it's given. So it can be given out of duty without expectation of return, which is the recommended way, the mode of goodness way. Or it can be given with an expectation of some return. So like, for instance, I'm just going to pause for a minute. Over time, I'd always get, because I'd give to, particularly, I always had an interest, I guess, in environmental preservation. So I'd give donations to organizations that were concerned with environmental protection. So then I would get a whole slew of similar organizations, you know, sending their particular pamphlet asking for a donation. And always how it was put was, if you give a donation, you can get this free tote bag, which has, you know, the emblem on it. So that's like giving in passion. You're going, you know, if you give that donation, you'll get a shopping bag. So there's some trying to create some incentive for giving. So that's giving in the mode of passion. It's not necessarily thinking fully about, you know, preserving the environment. Because after all, a bag that you receive is also, you have to consider, is it going to decompose properly? So is it actually in accord with, you know, the principles? And then there's also, so there can be a desire for some fruitive result, you know, you're going to get your tote back. charity could also be given in a very grudging mood, and it's not given, and it's given to an unworthy person. So, you know, I remember in India one year, going to an ayurvedic clinic and really not feeling very balanced because treatment was being done, and even a rickshaw ride was, or in one of those three-wheel scooter things, even that was, you know, very hard because the body was not perfectly balanced. So I guess being in a weak state, a whole line of raggedy children descended on me, you know, begging. So I was thinking, now this is charity in the mode of ignorance, because one is grudgingly giving something because one is not in the right frame of mind, and you know the children were harassing. So, so yeah, so these are all the different ways one can give charity. So. And also the mode of ignorance is giving it without proper attention. So, you know, you're not fully focused, you haven't thought about it carefully, it's not being considered the qualification of the person. So, at any rate, the giving of charity is meant to elevate one spiritually. So, and it needs to be aimed at the Supreme Lord. So if we take into account, going back to Srila Prabhupada's particular teaching on the actions of the disciple in the performance of charity, sacrifice, or some austerity, then if one's performing that with the words Om Tat Sat, then there's Krishna consciousness. and means that one is actually going through a scientific process in executing a transcendental activity. So the charity, the sacrifice, the penance is on a transcendental plane. And this is the very, interestingly enough, Sukracharya earlier on, he was very concerned to have Bali Maharaj, his disciple, go back on his promise of giving charity. And the argument he was going to, he was proposing to his disciple had been that the word Om wasn't used. So that's going back. And this is very interesting because Lord Vamanadev, just to refresh our memory a little bit, his particular statement, Bali Maharaj, his particular statement to Lord Vamanadev had been, whatever you want, you may take from me. O best of those who are worshipful, you may take from me a cow, gold, a furnished house, palatable food and drink, the daughter of a brahmana for your wife, prosperous villages, horses, elephants, chariots, or whatever you desire. And Sukracharya had suggested, taking evidence from the Bhavricha Shruti, which says that a promise is truthful if preceded by the word Om, and untruthful if it is not. So, so Sukracharya had an understanding of the aiming of charity or sacrifice towards the Supreme Lord and the necessity of uttering the proper mantra in order to do so. Now, here's Sukracharya, however, responding to Lord Vamanadev, and he's saying to him, and so we've just heard what he tried to do a while back, and here this is what he's saying to Lord Vamanadev. My Lord, you are the enjoyer and lawgiver in all performances of sacrifice, and you are the Yajna Purusha, the person to whom all sacrifices are offered. If one has fully satisfied you, where is the chance of discrepancies or faults in the performance of sacrifice? So, very interesting. Sukracharya is the spiritual master, and he's acknowledging that the performance of sacrifice aimed at the Supreme Lord gives assurance that the activity is perfect. Just having done that, aimed it at the Supreme Lord, it assures one that the activity you're performing is perfect. Indeed, again referencing Lord Krishna, this unique position of Krishna as the Yajna Purusha, or the person to whom all sacrifices are offered, he says that himself, and Srila Prabhupada quotes it in the purport, where Krishna is saying, and it's from 529, Bhaktaram Yajna Tapasam Sarva Loka Maheshwaram Surdam Sarva Bhutanam. So Lord Krishna is stating that he's the beneficiary of all the human sacrifices and the benefactor and well-wisher of all living entities. That's his own particular statement. And Sukracharya indicates that he has an understanding of this. Now, Sukracharya's point is that if one has pleased Lord Krishna, then there could not be a fault in the sacrifice that was made or performed. And of course, the reason that Lord Krishna has to be offered everything in transcendental service is that he's the proprietor of all the planets. I mean, it's very fundamental understanding. And he's also the proprietor of the demigods who are residing on those planets. And he's also the master of material nature. And so this kind of knowledge is that which allows for that sense of Krishna consciousness. So this is interesting because we're examining Sukracharya's statement. You know, is there a sense of Krishna consciousness? So he's indicating he knows Krishna's the enjoyer or the Yajna Purusha for all sacrifices that are performed. And the reason for those performance or the reason for putting Krishna in that position also has to be understood. And so we're going to look a little bit further. In particular, it's important for the performers of sacrifice to know what is the result of the sacrifice as well. So there has to be knowledge. And Lord Krishna explains, all these performers who know the meaning of sacrifice become cleansed of sinful reaction, and having tasted the nectar of the results of sacrifice, they advance towards the supreme spiritual destination. So this knowledge also needs to be there. That's from Bhagavad Gita 4:10. So the sacrifice of one's possessions, as was the case with Bali Maharaj, or the study of the Vedas, which was Sukracharya's position as the Brahmana. so he's performing a particular austerity. These are allowing for the senses to become controlled. And further, if one's performing sacrifice as recommended in the scriptures, and that recommendation can be for a particular person, depending on the ashram, the place, the time, it allows one to become free of sins. So that's a result of sacrifice. And Lord Krishna describes this result, this particular result, the freedom from sin, as being a nectarian result. So it's rather nice, you know, one I think casually uses the word something is like nectar, but it's so subtle, it's actually becoming freed from sins that's actually nectarian. That's according to Lord Krishna, through the performance of our sacrifices. I mean, be it, you know, following the recommended process for this age of chanting the Maha Mantra, or even the sacrifice of distributing prasadam. Now, the particular place and time is of importance if one's considering the question of there being no discrepancies, because that's the question that was posed by Lord Vamanadev to the spiritual master of Bali Maharaj, Sukracharya. Now, I'm going to lead to that by Bringing up Maharaj Yudhisthira, on Sundays when we hear Srila Prabhupada's lecture, we've actually been hearing almost a series, which is from the Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto in the 12th chapter, and it's on Maharaj Yudhisthira and his giving of, or his wishing to perform a horse sacrifice. And that horse sacrifice that Maharaj Yudhisthira wanted to perform was to please Lord Hari. And he knew what result he wanted. He wanted to be freed from the sin or any sins that had been committed by the whole-scale slaughter that happened at the Battle of Kurukshetra. He took it upon himself as the Kshatriya that he was responsible for all those deaths. So he wanted to perform three horse sacrifices to be freed from sin. So in his case, to do that sacrifice, he had to collect heaps of gold because that's a very huge sacrifice. Right, there's a nice description in the Bhagavatam. Apparently, at that time, there was such a huge amount of gold that a lot of it had been thrown into the garbage even. So Maharaj Yudhisthira actually collected apparently even things that had been discarded from the garbage, everything, all the gold that had been discarded, which meant that it wasn't that people were going to the garbage and collecting the discarded gold because everybody was completely satisfied they had adequate. So, but for the sacrifice, he needed everything he could collect. So now, now there's a statement that Lord Krishna, being invited to the sacrifice by Maharaj Yudhisthira, saw to it that they were performed by qualified twice-born brahmanas. So this is the same thing here that Lord Vamanandevs is arranging. He's arranging that there's qualified brahmanas present that are going to evaluate if there were discrepancies in the sacrifice performed by Bali Maharaj. And in the case of Maharaj Yudhisthira, also Krishna makes that arrangement that there's qualified brahmanas and they can see that this horse sacrifice with all these the heaps of gold is performed correctly. Now, we can even consider what is a qualified brahmana. It means that that category of persons have their senses controlled. And this forms the basis of morality, having the senses controlled. It's essential. So for a brahmana, that means that even in a regular marriage situation, there isn't, the sex desires kept in check. And also, they're studying the scriptures. So that's sense control for the brahmana. So that category of persons has to be there. They're the kind of, you could say, board that's going to give the verdict on whether a sacrifice is performed correctly. So, and they're able to because the senses are controlled. So the judgment is proper. It's not colored by the senses being out of control. So, now, both Maharaj Yudhisthira and Bali Maharaj, they fall into the categories of Kshatriyas. So there's the Brahmanas, they're going to evaluate if the sacrifice is done properly. And we can also look at the Kshatriyas, what their qualification in performing a sacrifice is. And the particular qualification for the Kshatriya is that they have to give charity and not accept charity. That's actually the qualification for the Kshatriya. So, and we can evaluate Bali Maharaj by his statement on this topic of the giving of charity. And this is what he says. O great sage, great saintly person, he's talking to Lord Vamanadeva in the form of a small Brahmana boy, like you, being aware of the Vedic principles for performing ritualistic ceremonies and yagyas, worship Lord Vishnu in all circumstances. So this is him talking. Therefore, whatever that same Lord Vishnu has come here to give me, or benediction, or to punish me as an enemy, I must carry out his order and give him the requested tract of land without hesitation. So you can see Bali Maharaj is falling into that category of Kshatriya. He's willing to give charity. There's no hesitation. There's no censoring of the charity. Whatever is asked of him, he will give. And so this is all looking at, you know, the discrepancies, because that was the question posed by Lord Vamanadev to Sukracharya. So I'm just examining Bali Maharaj and all the facets relating to the giving of charity. So Bali Maharaj can be understood by his spiritual master to have not shown any discrepancy in his performance of sacrifice. For he's adhered even beyond Sukracharya's view of the disciple. He's even adhering to Srila Prabhupada's view of the disciple, because he's actually showing love for Lord Vamanadev, and he's shown service to Lord Vamanadev. And so you could say he is teaching his spiritual master Sukracharya how to become a perfect Krishna conscious person, because he's acting in accord with the scriptures. So Bali Maharaj is quite exalted. I'm going to read a statement by Krishna from Bhagavad Gita to reinforce this point, that he's acting in accord with scripture. I thought it's a pivotal point for really showing how Bali Maharaj, there's no discrepancy in the way he's performed his sacrifice. This is Krishna talking. O chastiser of the enemy, to Arjuna, the sacrifice performed in knowledge is better than the mere sacrifice of material possessions. After all, O son of Pritha, all sacrifice of work culminates in transcendental knowledge. So this is the pivotal point, I thought, because Bali Maharaj, he'd fulfilled the purpose of sacrifice as stated by his spiritual master Sukracharya, and he arrived at a state of complete knowledge. And you know, we can read what he, how we understand that he's arrived at this state of knowledge. He says, by providence have I been forcefully brought under your lotus feet, he's talking to Lord Vamanadev, and deprived of all my opulence. Because of the illusion created by temporary opulence, people in general who live under material conditions facing accidental death at every moment do not understand that this life is temporary. Only by providence have I been saved from that condition. So this is extraordinary that he'd arrived at that complete knowledge, that being deprived of all his opulence was him being saved from an ignorant condition of not actually understanding that everything related to that opulence, his entire life really is temporary. So to still be living and having the understanding and having that knowledge, he considered such a huge boon that had come to him. And he can also be considered to have gained release from material miseries. This is Bali Maharaj. And this is described by his grandfather, who understood that Bali Maharaj got released from material miseries. His grandfather says, your lordship gave Bali the very great opulence of the post of heavenly king, and now today it is you who have taken it all away. Because his exalted position as king of heaven was putting him in the darkness of ignorance, you have done him a very powerful favor by taking away all his opulence. So that was Prahlad Maharaj's view of how Bali Maharaj had been released from material miseries. now, ultimately, Bali Maharaj was engaged in transcendental service to Lord Vamanadev. So he was acting in Krishna consciousness through his sacrifice of his material possessions. And we know this because he says, O best personality of Godhead, most worshipable for all demigods, if you think my promise has become false, I shall rectify matters to make it truthful. I cannot allow my promise to be false. Please, therefore, place your third lotus footstep on my head. So he's engaging in transcendental service, there's no doubt about it. So he's fulfilling every single criterion given by Krishna of how sacrifice or charity should be performed. So Bali Maharaj, his particular sacrifice took this shape because he had a particular kind of faith. And so he was on the level of transcendental knowledge. And he was certainly more advanced in his giving of charity than the way charity, the giving of charity was being proposed by his spiritual master, Sukracharya. So Sukracharya was simply looking at the sacrifice of material possessions without the knowledge that, all this knowledge that Bali Maharaj had, and he was putting into practice. And so Sukracharya, in this verse that we're doing today, he's responding to Lord Vamanadev that actually he doesn't see any discrepancies. There can't be any discrepancies in what Bali Maharaj has done in terms of making his sacrifice of his material possessions because of the fact that the sacrifice was done keeping the Supreme Lord in mind. But even beyond that, actually, Bali Maharaj has fulfilled every single criterion put there by Lord Krishna in Bhagavad Gita for the simple, for the giving of charity, because he's done it with knowledge. And if this had not been so, then that sacrifice would just have remained on the material level with no spiritual benefit. But we can understand from Bali Maharaj's statement, he understood this spiritual benefit that had come as a result of the sacrifice or the charity he'd given. And so Sukracharya, at least in the verse that we're in today and we're focusing on today, he's not referencing the knowledge that is behind Bali Maharaj's giving of sacrifice, making the sacrifice or giving in charity, but he is acknowledging that there can't be any fault just by virtue of the fact that the charity was given aimed at the Supreme. So these are some thoughts on this particular verse today. If there's any particular question that's emerged or some thoughts related to it.
Hare Krishna Mataji, thank you for your class. The opening of your class caught my eye when you were mentioning that Prabhupada wrote a letter to Jadarani and said, I consider my disciples my spiritual masters. And there's a nice session in Bhaktisiddhanta Vaibhav. It's either in volume one or volume two. The chapter is called Guru Disciple Interactions. And in the first one or two pages of that chapter, it quotes Bhaktisiddhanta where he says the exact same thing to his disciples. And Prabhupada also verifies another point. One of the most important points, I think, is in the Adi Lila chapter 17. Verse 31, it mentions the verse of Trinada Bisuni Chena. And in that purport, Prabhupada mentions that a spiritual master or a leader should not be proud of their position, being always humbler than an ordinary common man. He should go on chanting the Hare Krishna mantra. So I believe that's an important point because that's kind of my comment, but my question is regarding disagreeing and disrespect. This pastime seems to illustrate that point. Bali Maharaj disagreed with Sukracharya, but he never disrespected them because, you know, that's the nature of devotees. They always well wishes of everyone. But at the same time, if there's a compromise of, you know, me satisfying Lord Vishnu, or, you know, people may consider disrespect. So that's kind of my question when it comes to some discrepancies of disagreeing, disrespect. One thing that comes up a lot of time is what Rupa Goswami describes as Niyamagraha, being overly attached to the rules and regulations. And the reason I bring that up is because I'll just use an example. For Mongo Artsy, that's a standard. But if it's enforced that if you have to get up every day, you know, 100%, if you miss one day, you get kicked out. So there may be some contradiction that, yes, I enforce this rule, but there's also some flexibility. And so so that seems to be a theme with all rules and regulations. So how do we, it seems like, I don't really have a question. It seems like, you know, Bali's, like, there's no fault in him. It's not, he's disagreeing, but you're a well-wisher of everyone. So can you speak about, you know, rules and regulations and how there's always flexibility, always room for flexibility, because if you had to get up for Mongo RT every day, nobody would live in a temple. There's people get sick, people get tired naturally. And so there's always some flexibility. So maybe you could speak about being overly attached to rules and regulations.
So Jai Baladev had particularly focused on the statement coming from the class of the Vaishila Prabhupada in his letter to Jadarani, that the spiritual master can view his disciples as his spiritual master by virtue of the fact that they're showing their love for Krishna. And so Jai Baladev was particularly interested in a statement coming from Srila Rupa Goswami that rules and regulations or over attention to rules and regulations can be problematic. And he gave an example that say in the temple setting attendance of Mangalati may be enforced, but there's still the problem of sickness coming or difficulties coming that may not make it possible 100% attendance, even though there's the enforcement of that. So he's asking the question, even the rules and regulations can be enforced, surely there has to be some flexibility with the enforcement, because after all, that is quoted by Srila Rupa Goswami, that rules and regulations or over-adherence to rules and regulations can be problematic in moving forward in devotional life. So okay, in relation to the context of this particular pastime, Sukracharya was very knowledgeable certainly of the rules and regulations, and he attempted to take a scriptural statement and to use it, and this was mentioned in yesterday's class, and use it in a way that would be beneficial to himself. So that's a very insightful aspect of this particular pastime, in that the disciple, Bali Maharaj, saw that the spiritual master was utilizing, you could say, an injunction from the scripture, using the word om prior to performing a sacrifice, and his omission of it as a means to actually go back on a promise made to Lord Vamanadev. So Bali Maharaj recognized that his that for him personally, he could never go back on his word, because what it would mean would be a loss of reputation. So defamation to him was extremely an extreme deterrent to ever go back on his word. And he also gave another reason, and that was that actually it seemed so insignificant to surrender all the land, taking into account the temporary nature of everything. So now in terms of a particular rule, let's say in the temple situation, say there's a rule the persons that reside in the temple should attend the first artik of the day. So that particular rule is, you could say, it's based on the recommendation of Srila Prabhupada that Mangalati be attended, or the first artik of the day be attended, since it raises the consciousness and brings one's focus to the Supreme Lord right away at the start of the day. So the performance of that particular sacrifice, either if one's the pujari who's doing the artik or the person who's attending and participating in the kirtan, it's a sacrifice that's been performed. So if that sacrifice, the person, the performer is performing that sacrifice with the understanding, this is for the purpose of pleasing the Supreme Lord, then the person is the beneficiary. So the beneficiary or the beneficent aspect of performing that sacrifice for the attendee or for the pujari is that there's elimination of sin. And this is so subtle that you know, the person experiences an opening of the heart, struggles that are in the mind start to dissolve. So that's a very subtle thing, and the performer of the sacrifice experiences that. And Krishna describes it as an nectarian thing. So the enforcement is so that the performer of the sacrifice may get the result of that sacrifice, and that the performer is moving further in their spiritual life, closer to Krishna through the elimination or the falling away of all that sin that's accumulated in the heart. So the enforcement is in line with the recommendation in the disciplic succession. It's in line with Krishna's requirement that persons are acting in knowledge, and one is the recipient of so much benefit. So taking all that into account, it actually is something one can perform joyfully. And I would say that that most likely, if one is looking from the outside, might be a little bit difficult to comprehend if one oneself, you know, may not find it that easy to be awake at 3:30 or 3:45 in order to be ready for Mangalati. But taking into account that it's an act that's is in line with Krishna's teachings, the disciplic succession, the personal benefit that's accrued from it, it's actually a glorious rule to adhere to. And so if there's any enforcement, it's taking all those factors into account. So the flexibility component, Well, that's, you know, part of the, you know, the difficulties one's carrying, maybe those sins one's carrying or the residual effects in one's heart that can at times act as blockages for being able to perform a sacrifice. But to the best of one's ability, one should try and act in knowledge. Because if one's acting in knowledge, then it overrides those impediments that are there in the heart that may seem so real and may prevent the performance of sacrifice. But so staying focused on the knowledge component of why one is performing something can help one to move away from the obstruction caused by the, I guess, sinful remnants or accumulated things from many lifetimes that are sitting in the heart.
It's past 8:30, but I'm going to just say it, you know. Yes, it's very good. Just to reinforce the answer that you gave, which is in accordance with the actual statement of Srila Rupa Goswami, which is the statement of Srila Rupa Goswami is not that following rules, focusing too much on following rules and regulations may be problematic. It's more, you know, the answer that you said just right now. This is a statement of Srila Rupa Goswami. Practicing the scriptural rules and regulations only for the sake of following them and not for the sake of a spiritual advancement, which is the message of your class. And, or, this is the other part, the other problematic part, or rejecting the rules and regulations of the scriptures and working independently or whimsically. So that's the problematic part, when one's whimsically decide, I do it this way. Or independently, I want to do it this way. I don't, you know, like that. Or simply performing it for the sake of performing it, but not for the sake of pleasing Krishna, as you say. That's his statement.
Thank you very much for reading the actual quote from the Nectar of Instruction. The the additional part that you added was that through reading the statement directly was that the problematic part was acting whimsically and disregarding the rules and regulations. So, that would be that part of where the difficulties in the heart are acting as an obstruction to prevent one going down the path that is the recommended path from the scriptures, the disciplic succession from Krishna, that is the path that will bring knowledge, will allow that those obstructions to fall away, but rather one's acting, believing that those obstructions and what they're dictating may be the way to act, like going that way. So thank you. Yeah. And that's often the difficulty with scriptural recommendations. Sometimes it hits directly where one is having to give up something that seems so dear for something higher. So I guess that brings us time-wise to the end of the class. And if there's any little thought that somebody had that they may want to share and so they don't feel somehow repressed, we can spend a few moments offline. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.